Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is gone, the day is at hand. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, do you consider yourself a morning person? I mean, those kind of people that are up before the crack of dawn. The kind of people who want to get up so early and perhaps balance the checkbook, perhaps return some emails and read the morning newspaper before they even think about drinking a cup of coffee or eating breakfast. You buy into the philosophy the early bird gets the worm, don't you? Now, there's those on the other extreme, those who have a really, really hard time getting out of bed. When the alarm goes off, you need, and I mean need, to hit the snooze button at least a half a dozen times. And you need to get at least a couple cups of coffee before you even think about getting ready for the day. And you buy into the idea that the early birds are stupid because who wants to eat worms anyway? Yuck! So the question for you this morning is, are you a morning person or aren't you? Well, those of you who are morning people, you're not alone, because in the epistle lesson for the day, for this first Sunday in Advent, we are told in a very real way that we're all morning people. In fact, the alarm clock goes off when Paul says these words, "The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." See, the reality is that Jesus could come back any day. You know that, right? The truth is that our salvation is just around the corner, that eternal life with Christ in heaven. And the disciples were kind of curious when Jesus started talking about the end times. They said, "Well, Jesus, what will the signs of the end of the age be? And how can we tell it's coming?" And Jesus says, "Well, there'll be false prophets." I think we can check that one off the list. We got them all around us. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. And yes, check that one too, because there's wars going on right now. People really dying by real bullets today. Famines, check. Earthquakes, where aren't earthquakes happening? I felt one at my house this past summer. Persecution of Christians. More Christians have died in the past 100 years than in the 1900 years that led up to the last century. Christians are dying in droves at the hands of evildoers. How about the loss of love and faith? Look around the world today. More people claim no God than ever before. But yet they still celebrate Christmas. I don't understand. The preaching of the gospel of the whole world? Check. We can do that. The gospel proclamation has went out everywhere. So the one I want you to know this morning, that Jesus could return today or tomorrow or in 1,000 years. But don't ask me, because I don't know when it's going to be. In fact, Scripture says that not even Jesus nor the angels in heaven know when Christ will return to judge the living and the dead. So you're thinking to yourself, "Well, Pastor, what good are you?" Well, let me tell you, I can tell you one thing absolutely, perfectly clear and without fault. Your salvation is closer to today than it was when you first believed. Amen? It is. And the Bible tells us again and again that the day is drawing near. Jesus Christ will gloriously usher in Judgment Day, when He will sit upon His throne dividing the nations from sheep from the goats. And the Bible continually talks about this special time. You know, we in the English language have a hard time with the word time, because we can attach time to everything. But in Greek, it's different. In fact, when I took the Greek qualifier, there was a whole section on the time and different ways to use the word for time. I don't think I did that well on that section, because it's hard. Well, one of the words that's used in Scripture is the word chronos. Chronos, you get the word, it means ordinary clock time. So if you have a watch that comes on, you turn your wrist, that's the chronos. In fact, we get the words chronology and also the word chronometer. Had to practice that for a while. But that's just one Greek word. There's another word, the word kairos. Kairos is different because it literally means a critical time, an unforgettable moment in history. Something you can't miss. The hours may flick off my watch, but the reality is there's moments in time that are special that are set aside. My wife's not here, so I'll tell her later. Kairos time of my life was June the 22nd, 1991, when she gave me the honor of being called her husband. That's a pretty special day. Now, each one of us have those kairos times in our life. They're special. They're memorable. Maybe it's the birth of a child. Maybe it's a marriage. Well, I don't know what it is for you, but there's days that are significant. And the Holy Spirit inspired St. Paul to write of a kairos time when he wrote these words. In the fullness of kairos time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. In that special, unforgettable moment, God wrapped his own son in human flesh, placing him in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Amazing, miraculous, supernatural. But here's the deal. In this morning's reading, Paul informs his readers that now is a kairos time for them as well. He writes these words, besides this, you know the time, the kairos, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to you now than when you first believed. Now is the hour for you and I. Now is a kairos time, a special, a memorable time. Now, with all that said, this morning marks the beginning of the season of Advent. Advent simply means coming. And at the end of this month, I don't know what day's coming. There's a tree and there's presents and all that stuff. I think it's called Christmas, right? And you get to open all these gifts. It's a lot of fun to have family over. It's amazing. That's some of the preparation, but not entirely, because we remember the coming of Christ wrapped in human flesh. But during this whole Advent season, it's kind of a wake-up call for the church. The wake-up call is that the end of the age is close at hand. Stay awake. Don't sleep. Keep your candles and your lamps burning, because Christ is going to be soon at hand. The King is coming. Are you ready for his arrival is really the question. This is not a time for us to doze spiritually. It's not a time to kind of kick up your feet and say, you know what? It's not a big deal. It hasn't happened for quite a while. I think I'll just take a nap. See, the reality is, Jesus himself says in the book of Matthew, stay awake, for you do not know on what day our Lord is coming. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Dear friends, you can't set your alarm clock and I'm just going to wake up before it gets here. Everything will be good. You can't do it, because the reality is Jesus will come back when you least expect it. Scripture refers to it as a thief in the night. When you're unprepared, when you're at home with your family, relaxed, and nothing could go wrong now. And Jesus appears on the scene. But you realize that spiritual dozing has consequences? Actually, it has eternal consequences, because if a person is found dozing when Christ returns, they're like one of the 10 virgins that some of their lamps went out. And the fact of the matter is, they weren't invited into the marriage feast or the marriage banquet because they weren't prepared. The same way with Jesus, if he returns, we're not prepared. We won't be invited along. Jesus has said, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets of the kingdom of God, but you yourself cast out. There will come a day when the nations will be separated. Those that aren't prepared are going to be removed. Every single day should be a wake-up call for you and for me to stay alert, to stay vigilant, to stand your guard. But here's the problem. The devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh has this uncanny ability to lure us away from the things that are spiritual and get us sunk headlong into the things of this world. We live our lives as if tomorrow really doesn't matter, because we're just going to live for the day. Let's see what happens. Well, the fact of the matter is, it was recorded in Scripture when Jesus said these words, "For as were the days of Noah," remember Noah, the big boat? so will it the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Do you think the people of Noah's days were saying, like, what? The boat's right there, I can see it, no problem. The door's still open, so when the rain starts, I'm in. Well, the problem is the water rose before they could get there and they were all washed away. I want you to consider this. If you take nothing away from the day, I want you to think about this. Would you change anything about your life if you knew that Jesus would return tomorrow? Would you change anything? Here's a more pressing question. Would you change anything in your life if you knew that the next time you would enter this building would be in a casket? Would you change anything? Or would you live life exactly as you're doing today, kind of sleepwalking your way through, kind of spiritually dozing? Well, I've got good news for you. Advent is a time of waking up. Advent is a time to kind of to answer the alarm clock of God and rouse from your sleep. It's a kairos time for you, an important day to remember. For the Son of Man will come in an hour we don't expect Him. Oh, yes, indeed. But He is coming. In this morning's lesson, Paul not only tells us that we are to wake up, but we are also need to be dressed properly for the occasion. And ladies, you'll like this. Well, maybe you won't because you don't get to go shopping, but the bottom line is you'll like it. You get a whole new outfit. It's amazing. This occasion is when Jesus Christ, His second coming, we need to be prepared for it. So what are we to wear? Paul writes these words, "The night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." I know you're disappointed, you're thinking, yeah, put on Armani or some fancy Italian dress. No, put on the armor of light. The reality is that Paul says, throw off the filthy rags of your self-righteous works. Throw off the filthy rags of your sin and your doubt and your frustration. Throw them all off. All your disobedience, all your deeds of darkness. And he begins to speak about putting on the armor of light. Something has changed. Something is new about you. Now, in the book of Zechariah, there's a great... let me just read it. "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him." Now, mind you that Joshua is all of us. Satan is standing right there to accuse you. Okay? "And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this the brand plucked from the fire?' Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Remove the filthy garments from him.' And to him he said, 'Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you. I will clothe you with pure vestments. And I said, let them put a clean turban on my head.' So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments." Does that make any sense? Thank you. The alpha you have is God's gift to you. Now some of you probably have at home the frame baptismal garment from, it's been used by many generations. Now I've been in many homes and I don't know if I've seen it in this congregation, but my previous parents seemed like all of them had them. The garment hanging on the wall, and they'd remind me that that's the one my great-grandma and my grandma and I would all these people baptized in. They framed it on the wall because it's white. It's a reminder that righteousness that comes from Christ, and that's that robe of righteousness that's placed upon them. Many people keep it as a constant reminder of what Christ did upon the cross and the perfection that garment brings to them because of what Jesus has done. You sing it in hymns. "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness," you know that hymn, right? "My beauty are my glorious dress." Or how about that other one, "Amazing Grace." "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling." Get this, "Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace." We sing in our hymns, we need to be clothed with Christ's perfect righteousness that changes everything about us. By the grace of God and for the sake of Jesus Christ, you are God's well-dressed and wide-awake children. For the sake of this first advent of Christ, we look forward. We look forward in great anticipation of Christ coming again in glory. Well, He will judge the living and the dead. Not to be afraid, because we know that in Christ all of our sins are forgiven. Now, I want to close with an illustration. A father and a son had a big falling out, and some of you heard this before. They had a big falling out, and the son ran away from home. He ran away to Madrid, Spain. And the father knew he went to Madrid, but didn't know where, and it's a big city. And so the father went there and searched day after day and couldn't find his son. And so finally, one day, in last resort, he used the last amount of money he had to put an ad in the paper that said these words: "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." The next day at noon, in front of the newspaper office, 800 Pacos showed up. They were all seeking the same thing: forgiveness and the love of their father. Dear friends, this morning as we begin this whole Advent journey, I want to let you know that you are forgiven because of what Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. I want you to know this morning that God dearly loves you because of what He did not only in Bethlehem, but at Calvary and in the garden where Christ was risen, and what He'll do for you on the last day when you hear those sweet and precious words: "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you by my Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.